The message I'm going to try to preach this morning is the first time I'm preaching it in English. So, again, be patient. Jonah chapter 4. The title of my message is a very interesting title. 120,000 souls. 120,000 souls. You know the story behind Jonah's book? We read, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." That's verse number one. Why was he so angry? Well, let's read about it. Let's stand on our feet, and I'm going to read just a few verses. Listen to this prayer. "And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my sin when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." Are you understanding here why Jonah was so angry? He was so angry because God is so good. He was so angry because God is so merciful. Can you understand that? I can't. "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd." Let's stop here for the time being. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the reading of the Word of God. Help us to understand what is being taught here. Help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. 120,000 souls. Jesus said that one soul is worth than the whole world. Can you imagine 120,000 souls? That's the number of people that were living in the city of Nineveh. Jesus would have died for one single person, but the prophet Jonah was very nationalist, and he did not want to see the love of God going outside the country of Israel, especially to a pagan people like the Ninevites. And he literally complained that 120,000 Ninevites were saved that day by the God of Israel. Now, it's so hard to see people getting saved in our days. And here is Jonah complaining about so many that God saved. He said to the Lord, "Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God. I knew I should not have gone to Nineveh, because you are so gracious, you would save those pagan people. Sometimes I complain to the Lord that nobody is getting saved in our ministry. But I cannot understand someone complaining of the love and grace of God. Like the prophet Jonah, there are some Christians today that do not care for the salvation of other people. They do care about their family members getting saved, their close friends getting saved, but they just don't care about the rest of the world. How do I know that? Because from time to time, I ask our own people, how many of you have witnessed in the last 3 weeks? And you know, the answers are very discouraging. Jonah did not love the people of Nineveh because they were Gentiles, because they were pagans. And how about us? Why do we not love people enough to share the gospel of Jesus with them? Let me give you three possible reasons this morning. First of all, it is due to a lack of love. We say it's due to a lack of time. We say it is due to a lack of opportunities. But the Bible shows us in several books, it is due to a lack of love. Jonah demonstrated his lack of love for the people of Nineveh through his anger. And we demonstrate the same problem through the sin of omission. James the Apostle, he says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." We know for sure that a person cannot be saved unless she or he hears the gospel of Christ. But how can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear without coming to our church or without missionaries going to them? Lack of love is then the main reason behind our cold hearts, as it was in the case of Jonah. Please notice how it works. First, we expect God's judgment, but not salvation. After preaching the word of God during 3 days to the city of Nineveh, Jonah went outside the city and he waited for a rain of fire or brimstone upon the Ninevites. He preached two subjects, repentance and judgment, and he was waiting and expecting for judgment. Sometimes I'm like Jonah too. I want to see God's judgment, especially upon those people that call themselves religious, and they are killing innocent people in the name of their God, in the name of their religion. And sometimes, you know, I get in the flesh, and I want to see God's judgment upon those people. But then I must remember that in the battle between Jesus and Satan, heaven and hell, we Christians are the soldiers of peace, not of war. And the best way to defeat the devil is by getting people saved and taken out of his kingdom. Some time ago, a driver saw an accident. A little boy was hit by a big bus. Instead of helping the little boy that was on the ground, he stopped his car, stayed static, just staring at the boy. Another driver stopped immediately behind him, put the boy in his car, and took him to the hospital. Likewise, we are watching the world getting worse each day here in our country and abroad, and we are not doing our part to see people getting saved. I believe in government. I believe in good politics. But to get people saved and to change their lives, I believe only in the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other way for them to be saved, to be changed, to be reached. The Apostle Paul said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the only source of salvation. I'm not ashamed of the only source of power. I'm not ashamed of the only way to get people to know God." The United Nations and all the governments of the world cannot change people, cannot save their souls. Only the gospel of Jesus can. But instead of salvation, we expect God's judgment. Secondly, we know God can save, but we don't care. Listen to this. "For I knew that thou art a gracious God." We all know that here this morning. "And merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." How do I know that? Because of my own life. I'm here this morning not for merit, but because of the grace of God. If you knew me like God knows me, you would not like me. But God, He loves me, He likes me in spite of myself. And I know He is a gracious God. I know He is merciful. I know He is slow to anger. I know He is of great kindness when I look at my own life. In other words, Jonah said, "I know you have enough love to save the whole city of Nineveh, but I do not want to spend eternity with them. Therefore, I'm not going to preach." Have you ever witnessed to someone you did not love? It must be difficult. I can understand that. The daughter of a missionary friend of ours was sexually abused by someone they knew there in the country of Brazil. At first, that father was ready for revenge. He was so angry. He was ready to do justice through his own hands. But 2 or 3 days later, his heart was softened again. And by the grace of God, he was able to go to the prison where that horrible man was and witness to him in love and in kindness. When he told me about that, humanly speaking, I could not understand. But spiritually speaking, I said, Amen and glory to God. Only by the grace of God could he, that father, have forgiven a man like that. The people of Nineveh had committed horrible crimes. They were not innocent. Jonah had all the right in the world to despise them. They had committed crimes against God, against the people of God. Definitely, they deserved punishment. But God loves sinners, and He's always ready to forgive them. This is my greatest hope. This is my greatest help as a missionary. I know God loves sinners. Otherwise, I would have no reason to proceed in my ministry because I'm leading with sinners all the time. Just a few years ago, 2 suspicious-looking men visited our church 3 or 4 times. We were so happy to see those 2 men coming to church so very often. We even thought, wow, they're going to get saved. They're going to stay with us. But then we found out that they were policemen. They were coming to our church to spy on a man that had been attending our church nearly for a year. And that man was a fugitive from a penitentiary, and we did not know that. So the policemen went to the deacons, and they talked to the deacons, and they asked, how could you let a man like that attend your church? And the deacons answered, first of all, we didn't know he was a fugitive. Second, the church is open for all kinds of sinners so they can repent of their sins and be saved. We told the man to surrender to the police, go back to the penitentiary, and pay for his crimes. That man then asked me, with tears coming down his face, Pastor Rom, after I have paid for my crimes, can I come back to your church? Can I attend this church? I said, by all means. After you have done that, you're going to become a great testimony of the grace and power of God. There is a lack of love in our midst today. We know Jesus saves, but we expect His judgment. We know Jesus loves, but we don't care. Brother Jimmy Rose, my pastor, he cared enough to go inside a bar in 1977 and witness to a bartender. That bartender helped to destroy many lives. Through his drinks, through the selling of his drinks, he helped to destroy families. He helped to destroy lives in car accidents. He deserved judgment, but instead, he received the forgiveness of God because an American missionary went after his soul. That bartender was my own father. The second reason we do not do more for souls, it is due to a lack of priorities. First things must come first, but they don't. Verse 10 says, Thou hast had pity on the gourd. Here is God talking to Jonah. For the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. Jonah had more love for a plant than he had for souls. He felt sorry because God killed his plant, but he was expecting God to kill 120,000 people. Jonah had no priorities whatsoever. He placed 2 things in front of people, nature and his well-being. With all due respect, the Greenpeace movement has done more for nature than a lot of us have done for people. They spend billions of dollars to save animals, plants, and rivers. I have seen on TV some Greenpeace members risking their own lives to save fish. This is what God is saying to Jonah. You care so much for nature and so little for people. The second church you saw on the presentation we established, we started that church in the backyard of a lady's house. Her son was a Christian, and he's a Christian, and he allowed us to use his house to start the second church. But his mother was not very happy because she had a beautiful garden in front of her house, and she was afraid that the church or the kids or the people gathered together in her house would kill her plants and cause harm to her plants. And because of her plants, 2 or 3 months later, she kind of asked us to leave her house. She loved her plants more than she could love a church. Sometimes we do the same unconsciously. We spend more money and time with our pets and with our gardening than we do with our church and our missions. Now, I love animals. In my house, we have a German Shepherd, this big. His name is Rainbow. And he's a nice dog to us, but he would be a mean dog to somebody else. My daughters, they have hamsters. I call them rats. But she says they are not rats, they are hamsters. And we have fish. See, I love animals. I have a beautiful small garden in front of my house. So don't take me wrong. But like Jonah, sometimes we care more about these things than we would care for people that were made according to the image of God, our Creator. Jonah was also worried about his well-being. Verse 6 says, "And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief." So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. God is so good. He takes good care of us. But sometimes we delight so much in our comfort that we forget the suffering of other people around us. When Rochelle, my oldest daughter, was just a little baby, Rachel and I, we were missionaries on deputation. And Rochelle, she was prone to ear infections. She would have one after the other, one after the other. And we were so afraid of taking her to the various churches we were visiting because she could get sick so easily. But the doctor, who is now a missionary herself, at that time told us, God called you to serve. God called you to go around and help people. Don't be afraid. God will take care of you. And by God's grace, we went ahead, visited all the churches. Yes, Rochelle got sick many, many more times. But look, she's a healthy young lady today because God took good care of us. But when we place our well-being in front of God's work, nothing will be done for him. My pastor's oldest son was dying in a hospital, and there was my pastor crying but witnessing to the nurses at the same time. He was brokenhearted, he was not feeling well, but someone had to witness to those nurses. Jonah, he wanted a shadow for his head, food and water for his body, and fire upon the city of Nineveh. He did not have priorities. He did not have the right priorities. So it is due to a lack of love, lack of priorities, and thirdly, it is due to a lack of obedience. Instead of obeying, Jonah fled away from the place God had sent him. He decided to obey only after 3 days in the belly of a great fish. So when we disobey the Lord, we cause 2 great problems in our lives: separation and correction from God. I do not want either. Inside the fish's belly, Jonah cried out, "I am cast out of thy sight." This is how we feel when we are not obeying the word of God. Cast out, separated. Sometimes we feel that the Lord is not with us. We pray, nothing. We read the Bible, nothing. We come to church, nothing. Where is the Lord? Remember, disobedience can cause us to feel that God is not with us. When I was only 20, 21 years old, I felt so cold. I was not witnessing as I should. I was not reading the Bible as I should. I was not praying as I should. I just felt cold. I knew something wrong was happening. So I decided to get my Bible during lunchtime, and I went downtown, main square of the city. I knew the square would be packed up with a lot of people during lunchtime. And I stood up on a bench, and I called, you know, their attention, and I had my Bible. And I held an evangelistic service for 20 minutes that day. When I was done, I felt the presence of God back, because I knew I was witnessing, preaching, and that made me so happy. You know, when we are in disobedience, we can sense separation from the Lord. When you think He's not around, verify any sin of disobedience in your life. Obey Him, and He'll be back. Correction. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. So when we do not learn the lesson the first time, God may correct us the second and the third time, like He did with Jonah. First, God sent a great tempest, but Jonah did not obey. Then Jonah was swallowed by a fish. He obeyed, but it was not by heart. Finally, God killed his gourd. How many times does the Lord need to discipline us? All that God needs to do is to allow a worm to destroy our dreams and our plans. Remember the first evangelical church of Jerusalem? They were doing so well. First of all, 3,000 new converts, then 5,000 new converts. And the church was growing, finding grace not only before God, but before the population of the city. They had all the apostles in that church. Can you imagine being a member of a church with the 11, 12 apostles of Christ? What a blessing. Miracles were happening all the time. And the poor, they were being taken care of. Nobody wanted to leave such a wonderful church like that. But the commission had been given, go ye into all the world. But they decided to stay in Jerusalem. So God sent the worm of persecution to that church. So those people were spread around, and the church was spread till this day. God will correct us when we don't obey His word. How many of you have been corrected by God? It's not pleasant, is it? It's not pleasant. How many of you have felt God is not so close anymore? It's not pleasant. He's trying to call our attention to the right priorities of life. How many of you can say this morning, Brother Rom, I am acting like the prophet Jonah. I'm not caring enough for souls. I am not following a list of priorities, and I'm not obeying the Lord as I should. God said to Jonah in verse 11, and should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, 120,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand, their left hand, and also much cattle? What a question the Lord is asking us today. And the only answer we can give Him is, yes, Lord, You should. And we should love people as well. Please help us. Help us to go out today caring more, loving more, thinking more about souls for Jesus. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Lord, we thank You so much for allowing us to learn through the prophet Jonah the importance of souls. Your love, Your grace towards people. Lord, help us to be like You. Help us to love people, to care for people. Fill our hearts today with the love of God. Help us to go out thinking about opportunities to be a blessing to someone. Lord, may God use this church, all the members of this church, to get together and behind Pastor Todd in order to evangelize, to reach more people for the kingdom of Christ. Help us to see people not only around the world through our missionaries, but here in this city as well. People that need the Lord. Children, young people, adults, people we have contact with every day, our neighbors, friends, relatives, people we meet for the first time. Help us to be prepared to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Forgive us for our coldness and help us to be more involved. In Jesus' name, amen.